two verses, verses 20 and verse 21. Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Parenting is hard. Very hard. The hardest thing you can do is raise children. Anything, probably besides pastoring, is easier. Parenting is not for the weak of heart. It's not for the absentee-minded. It's not for those who want to play around. It takes a lot of energy, effort, a lot of discouragement in parenting. It's hard. My goal here is not to discourage this morning, parents, but to encourage you, because it can be very discouraging to parent children. But as we think about parenting, we need to think, what is the goal of parenting? What are you trying to accomplish? That we do, we don't even know what we're trying to accomplish. We have kids, and what's next? And we just kind of flow, go with the flow, and just kind of carry on and make it up as we go. And we don't even know what we're trying to do. We shouldn't expect to be good parents if we don't know clearly what we're trying to accomplish. And you say, well, parenting is raising children. The Bible tells us to nurture and raise up our children in the admonition of the Lord. To take kids from one state, to grow them up, help them mature. But what does it mean to raise our children? Is it simply to get them out of the house one day? To be empty nesters? Just to have kids, say we've done that, and now we can go on our vacations now that our kids are on their own. What does it mean to raise children? How do children go from immaturity to maturity? How does that take place? We must realize that children come to us deficient. They're not self-equipped. They don't have what they need to function and live in this world. They come empty. And it's not just they come empty. They come already pre-programmed in a bad way. The foolishness, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. They come not wise. They don't come with self-control already within them. You have to install that. You have to equip that into the child. They come foolish and they need wisdom. They come pretty selfish, and they need to be taught what it means to be unselfish. They come with little to no self-control, and you have to equip them with the discipline they need to be self-control. They go from irresponsibility, and we need to equip them with responsibility. The goal of parenting is to get your children where they can control themselves one day, where they can have the wisdom necessary to function in this world. The goal of parenting is to train them where you don't have to continue to parent them when they're adults. And we see that parenting is missing in our culture today. It's not happening in our culture today. You can look what's going on in the streets today and realize these kids are not been parented. They have no self-control. They're just wild. They're crazy. And it's because they never were taught the self-control they needed when they were youngsters. So the goal of parenting is equip your children to be free. Keep that in mind. You want your child to have freedom. That's the goal. Freedom. Your goal is not to keep a tight fist around them the rest of their days, to micromanage them when they're 80 years old, or to even micromanage them when they're 18. Your goal is to have them to fly on their own, to govern themselves, to be free, to make their own decisions. That's the goal, not for you to keep making decisions for them indefinitely. But you've got to equip them to be able to make the right decisions. You've got to train them. And as you train them, back up and let them fly. Sometimes let them make their own mistakes. You see, the goal of parenting is not just to get your kids through the store without them throwing a fit. If that's all you want, you may win the battle, but you're going to lose the war. Your kid is not your goal of parenting is not just to have well-behaved kids in the service, but when they're 18, they're crazy. When they're 18 or 19, when they go on their own, they're just reckless. You may have got them to obey you when they were children, but they have no money management skills when they're older. Because they really, truly never learn to have their own self-control. They only had the control of their parents. They could only operate when they had mom and dad say, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. Only when they had someone to tell them what to do were they able to do what's right. Our goal is not that. Our goal is for them to be responsible adults, so that they can raise the next generation of kids. And we're going to look at 2 points. First, I'm going to address you children. So listen up, children. I want you to listen, and I want you to have strict obedience. I want you to go, I want to obey thoroughly, fully, exhaustively. As our text says, obey in everything. I want strict obedience from the children to the parents. So we're going to look at strict obedience, but then when we get to our second point on parenting, we're going to look at gracious parenting. Strict obedience from the kids' perspective, gracious parenting from the parents' perspective. First of all, strict obedience. We see this in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obedience includes honoring. It begins with honoring your mom and your dad. Honoring them, respecting them. Exodus 20 tells us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land. To honor them, that means to respect them, to regard them with high esteem. Kids, that means don't talk back. Don't grumble. When your mom or your dad says to do something, smile and say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Kids, make sure that you do not dishonor your parents. And you do this when you cease to be happy to obey them. You see, obedience not only includes honoring your mom and dad, obedience includes listening to your parents. I think this is kids fail to do this. They hear their parents, but they don't listen. You ever hear your mom and dad say, do you hear me, son? Are you listening? Well, you actually hear the words, but you're not paying attention. You're not actually wanting to hear what your mom and dad is saying, because maybe you already know more than your mom and dad. Maybe it's because you don't need to listen because you're already smart. Well, the Bible tells us to listen. Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life. Proverbs 1:8, hear my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 1:8, hear my son. Here, listen to me. The book of Proverbs was written by a father to his son, trying to instruct his son on how to live his life. Pay attention, and you will live. You see, obeying your parents begins with respect, but it leads to listening. Kids, you have to learn to listen. It doesn't come natural. In fact, all of us, the hardest thing about communication is listening, and the hardest thing about listening is being unselfish, to actually want to know what the person is saying. And kids, that's a hard thing. You have to learn that. You have to learn what it means to say, what does my dad, what does my mom want from me? What are they expecting from me? See, Jesus had to learn obedience, and he was perfect. How much more do those of us who are born in this world full of sin and a selfish nature have to actually learn this? They're not, kids don't come self-equipped. You're not just born in this world knowing how to obey. It doesn't come natural to us. Being disobedient is what's natural. Doing what we want to do is what's natural. But to submit our wills to the will of the authority, that has to be learned. It has to be taught. And you have to listen to be able to learn how to obey. In fact, that's what it leads to. Obedience includes submitting our wills to the will of the authority. For you kids, you have to say, what does my mom and dad want from me? Their desires has to be my desires. It's not what I will, not what I want, but what my mother wants or what my father wants. Even Jesus come, and when he prayed, he says, Lord, do this for me. But then he would end his prayer, as we learn, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. I want to do what pleases you, not what pleases me. And kids, you know you're getting close to learning obedience when it's your joy to please your mom and dad and not to please yourself. When you find joy and happiness in seeing their joy and happiness in an obedient kid, more so than just playing with your toys or doing what you want to do. So you have to learn to submit your will to the will of someone else. It's hard, it's difficult, it's not natural. Thus, obedience takes discipline. It takes self-control. You know, Paul had to beat his body into subjection. Even as an adult, he still had to learn and to obey the Father. And we never graduate from this school, do we? We're always having to learn to obey and continue every day and pick up our cross and submit our wills to God. And children, you have to learn this at an early age. That my life is not my own. I can't just do what I want to do. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for a bigger reason. And I have to learn to do what I'm told to do. And take joy in it. And thus it takes discipline. Be careful, kids, about allowing yourself to get into addictive habits. Things you can't control. Be careful with video games. They can be innocent enough and harmless and fun. Nothing wrong with playing a video game. But realize that can be addicting. And if you can't tell yourself no, if you can't say, that's enough, I played long enough, if you can't control your own time management when it comes to playing video games, you don't need to play them anymore because they're starting to control you. And don't think that won't affect how you obey your mother and father. If you can't control yourself, you're not going to control yourself when it comes to other people telling you what to do. See, that's what parenting is. That's what learning obedience is learning to have self-restraint. But kids, because you're born into this world, I was born in this world wanting what I want when I want it immediately, like a dog or a cat or an animal. They don't have any long-term plans. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't have a future that they're really planning after. They don't have an objective other than satisfying their felt needs. Whatever they want now is that's what they think about. And that's the way we are as kids. I just want to play video games. I just want the candy bar. I just want that. I just want to have fun. I just want to live for now. Got to learn, no, that's not the purpose of life. It's not just about what I want now. It's about living for something more important than what I want now. I must submit myself, control my desires. You may have the self-control to stay still in church, which is good. But do you have the self-control to say, I played enough, it's time to go inside? It's time for me to turn the television off before mom or dad has to tell me? You see, these addictions that you may have when you're a child could lead into more dangerous addictions when you're a teenager. If you can't control your little desires now, what will happen when you get older and the desires are even more wicked, more dangerous, more perverted? Don't think you'll be able to handle it then. It matters your attitude now. It matters how you're controlling yourself. It matters now if you're listening to your mom and dad. Attitude now against your parents can lead to great destruction when you're an adult. In fact, it happens all the time. Obedience includes seeking to obey your mom and dad precisely in the little things. It says, children, obey your parents in everything. You don't get to choose and pick what you want to obey and what you don't want to obey. Well, my mom and dad are right about this. I'll do that. And I like that. But in this area, I'm just not going to listen. This is not pleasing to the Lord when you think you're your own authority. Self-control is one of those disciplines that crosses over to all aspects of life. See, you need to control yourself when you're in the store so one day you control your spending when you're an adult. You need to be able to be told what to do when you're a kid so when you get a job you can listen to your supervisor tell you what to do. See, you must learn to obey your parents in everything. Sometimes it's hard to obey. And we can admit it. It's hard to obey. Sometimes it's difficult to surrender, to submit. But you're called to do that as children. You see, we see obedience as, real obedience is seeking to please God. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. The heart of obedience is not just behavior management. It's not just hypocritical performance. As long as you cross your T's, dot your I's, or as long as you, you know, do what mom and dad says and you did it, don't think you completely obeyed. Just because you outwardly performed the command that was instructed to you. You're not fully obeying your mom and dad until you're seeking to please your mom and dad. And ultimately, you're not obeying your mom and dad until you're seeking to do it to please God. It says, obey your father and mother in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, to me, when I think about this verse, I'm amazed. I'm completely blown away by this verse because it's hard for me to imagine that God could be pleased with me in anything. And you know, I take pleasure in a lot of things. That pleases me. That makes me happy. I take joy in this and that. But it's hard for me to imagine that God, who needs nothing and needs not me, he doesn't need me, that God, the Almighty God, can take joy and pleasure in me. That blows me away. And just the thought of God taking pleasure in me makes my life worth something. All of a sudden, it gives me value. It gives me purpose. Like, I can bring joy to God. And how can I bring joy to God? How can I bring pleasure to God? How can He delight in me, His child? How can I bring pleasure to God? Well, I can by obeying Him. Because that's what pleases Him. He delights in obedience. He delights in humility. He delights in us willfully pleasing Him and trying to serve Him. That's something that just brings Him great joy. And don't you, as a child, want to please God? To bring Him joy and happiness in your walk, in your life? Well, if you do, you obey your mom and dad. For this is what pleases Him. You see, this also means, young children, disobedience displeases God. As much as your obedience pleases the Lord, your sin makes Him angry at you. You need to realize, children, that you've all sinned. You've all come short of the glory of God. And God is very unhappy with you until you find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You need the Lord more than anything else in life because you have not obeyed. You have failed in this area. You've sinned. You said no to your dad. You've said no to your mom. You've had a bad attitude. You've had a bad heart. God has seen this and He's upset with you. And so I implore you, children, to repent of your sins. Seek forgiveness. Seek His help in obeying the Lord, obeying your mom and dad. But here's the good news. The Lord is a forgiving God. He loves to forgive. He's a patient God. And He will give you forgiveness if you seek it. God does demand from you precise obedience. Right, children? Okay, now I turn to us adults or us parents. Trust me, the kids have the easy part of this. Only if we could just be in the obedient side of things. Now, we as parents have to be obedient to God if we're going to have our kids be obedient to us. You can't raise your kids in disobedience to God and think your kids will be obedient to you. Where parenting fails, at least where it fails in my own life, is where I'm disobedient to my God. When I'm disobedient to the Father, then it's harder for me to get my kids to be obedient to me because I'm not raising my kids the way that God has told me to raise them. We have to submit to authority if we want our kids to submit to our authority. It's hard to be a parent. And you'll hear me say this later on. If you're going to discipline your kids, you have to have discipline yourself. Lack of discipline in parenting leads to lack of discipline in children. And it's hard to be a parent. It's difficult being a parent. And I'm going to tell you up front, we fail. We fail at this. But God's given us instruction, which I'm glad He has, because we need it. We need help. What do I need to do as a parent? How do I need to raise my children? I want good kids. I want them to be one day able to raise their own children. I want them to have the discipline and the wisdom needed to function in society. Ultimately, I want them to have faith in Jesus Christ. I want them to know the gospel. I want these things for my children. Then what do we need to do as parents? Well, overall, the Bible tells us to be gracious. It tells us, especially fathers, twice, it says in Ephesians 6 and here in Colossians 3, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, Ephesians 3:6 says. Here it says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I don't think parenting fails is because we don't spank them hard enough. I think it fails because we provoke our children. I think provoking our children to wrath or to discouragement is the number one reason we fail at parenting. And I think that's why it's repeated twice in the Bible, because this is what, especially fathers, he addresses fathers because we're more prone to provoking our children than mothers are. And what does it mean to provoke your child? Well, you kind of know what it means. It means to push them beyond their ability, to discourage them through your poor parenting, to anger them, to get them where they want to just give up. You know why I don't play the banjo anymore? Discouragement. I realized I'm no good. Honestly, I'm just not good at it. As much as I tried, I couldn't figure out how to keep timing. I couldn't get timing down. I could get the licks down. I could get my fingers to cooperate. I just couldn't make it sound right. I gave up. I can spend my time doing something I'm good at. I don't want to spend my time on something I know I'm going to fail at. How many kids come to the same point? I'm bad. I'm just bad. I can't do it. I cannot live up to the expectations that are placed on me. I give up. I'm just going to accept that I'm a rebel. I'm going to embrace it. I'm just going to go on and live my life the way I want to live it, because I can't please my dad, can't please my mom if I tried. I think that happens more than you think. And the Bible gives us an exhortation, especially as fathers, not to do that. Not to provoke your child to anger or to discouragement. And as we think about this, throughout what the rest of the Bible tells us about parenting, I think we do this in three general areas. One, I think we do this with unexplained expectations or unexplained rules. I think, secondly, we do this with unreasonable rules. And third, I think we do this with inconsistent discipline. So we need to, according to the scriptures, I believe, try to not do this to our children. Have unexplained rules, unreasonable rules, and thirdly, inconsistent discipline. First of all, unexplained rules can be a means of provoking our children to discouragement. You see, discipline must begin with instruction. You don't raise your kids by spanking them, then talking to them. You know, you've done that before. I've done that before. Kids doing something, they don't know what they're doing is wrong or right. You just go in and spank them. Well, that'll teach them. That's going to provoke them to wrath. I mean, how would you like to be pulled over by the police and you didn't even know there was a law you were breaking? And then the police makes up the law as he's talking to you. It would provoke you to wrath. So don't do that to your children. Don't expect them to know the rules if you haven't talked to them. Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 6, you shall teach them diligently to your children. I mean, parenting takes diligence. It takes instructions. It's set down with them. In fact, it tells us as we walk, as we talk, when we go to the store, when we come back from the store, we're in the car, when we're about to go to bed. I mean, every opportunity, you're to be an instructor, a teacher. Explain these things. Explain right and wrong. Explain the reason why you have rules and what you expect from your kids. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but this is how you don't do that. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thus, parenting begins with teaching, instruction, and investing. Children don't care what their parents know. until they know that their parents care. And that's why parenting is difficult. It's difficult. Because it takes time to be a diligent, ongoing teacher. For the classroom to never be out of session. Raw discipline does not work. Spanking alone is mean. Our homes don't need to feel like a boot camp. You know, so all the, you know what that kid needs? He just needs to go to boot camp. Just get straightened up. You know? You can train a dog by just shocking him. Because a dog can't reason. It just learns through shock, through discipline. You don't raise kids that way. You get to their hearts, yeah, sometimes through the butt. But it has to go through the mind as well. See, we may get our kids to behave when they're little. Oh, we can go into the store and they just walk like little ducks behind us. That's what they need to do, walk like ducks behind us, or not go to the left or go to the right, or say, I'm going to the store, you know, you can't control them. No, they need to be controlled in the store. But you may be able to accomplish that and think, I'm a good parent, but you really haven't really gained anything long term if you haven't equipped their minds, if you haven't first taught them what it means to be self-controlled beings. See, this may be the hardest part of parenting, the teaching, admonishing, just talking and having conversations. The reason this is hard, because it just takes time. And there's no bypassing it. There's no, like, fast-forwarding this. This is no, like, okay, parenting is easy. You know, let's put a DVD in and I can go fishing. Reason parenting fails is because we don't parent. We don't commit ourselves. Hey, this is a job. This is a responsibility. You know, we have kids. Oh, well, that's fun. Now what? You know, no, you've got kids. Now you've got a job. You got a responsibility. And sometimes you just have to commit, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to be an active parent. I'm going to be involved parent. I'm going to put effort into this. And it begins with instruction. The Puritan Thomas Watson says, children are young plants which must be watered with good education so that they may, with Obadiah, fear the Lord from their youth up. Plato said, in vain does he expect a harvest who has been negligent in sowing. Nor can a parent expect to reap any good from their child when he has not sown the seed of wholesome instruction. So you'll drive your children to discouragement if you're just disciplined without education, without instruction, without talking to them. Now, as you seek to instruct your children, don't just try to get them to behave outwardly like hypocrites and Pharisees. Aim at their hearts. Aim at their attitudes. Aim at their mind. Ted Tripp says all behavior is linked to the attitude of the heart. Therefore, discipline must address attitudes of the heart. You know how you affect change or behavior changes? It's not just, you know, you can get people, you can get prisoners, if you're overseeing a jail, you can get prisoners to line up, go to bed on time, wake up on time, not fight at the when they're eating. You can get them to do that. But what have you accomplished? But just robotic behavior. Is that what you want out of your kids? Just robotic behavior? Just good behavior? Just because that's they don't want to get in trouble because this is just what's expected of them? And no, what you want is them to have their own initiative, to please you, to please the Father, and have self-control on their own accord. You want them to be able to live their life without being told what to do. So let's aim at their hearts. And the way behavior really changes, you've got to drive the foolishness out of them, install wisdom within them. You've got to teach them. You are, mom and dad, you are their principal teachers. You're called to be that. You're responsible to teach your children in admonition of the Lord. And I believe instruction of your children includes listening to your children. In the 1800s in Germany, they attempted to do higher education through just lectures. Just, we teach you, we instruct you, there's no testing, there's no papers, you just listen, you just absorb it, you just take it in. And they eliminated all examinations and papers. Just show up in class, pay attention, and you'll be educated. They found out that didn't work very well. Not only does it lose the incentive to study, the fact that the instructors did not know where their people or their students were at. One student may be at this level, another student may be at a lower level, but the instructor had no clue how to address the information where the lower level could receive it, because the instructor did not know that. There was no way of understanding where the student was. And they've learned that one reason that you do tests and you do reviews in school is for the teacher to be able to see where the student is. Same thing with parenting. You have to study your child. You have to know where your child is, their disposition, where they're at. You have to listen to them to be able to instruct them. And that's the part it takes unselfishness of on the parent side. It takes difficulty to sit down with your child and talk to them. And not just talk to them. You know what it's like to be a child. All of us remember being a child and being lectured. And what do we do when we get lectured? Let's be honest. We tune out. We just blah, 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 blah. It does sound like this, a lecture. Blah, blah, blah. Some of you think my preaching is like that. Blah, blah, blah. If all you do is lecture and spank your kids, they're not going to listen. Why would you expect them to listen? Take them aside and put them on your knee and say, how are you doing? What are you struggling with? I see this is difficult you to this has been difficult you for you to carry out this responsibility I put on you. I know this is hard. You've failed 5 times now. What seems to be the problem? Am I asking too much? Is this unreasonable? What do you think? What are you thinking about this? Talk to your kids. Reason with them. Treat them as reasonable creatures that they are. If you don't, you can drive your kid to be discouraged, to anger. You can provoke your kids to anger if you don't listen to them. Now, so that's the first thing. Do not provoke your children to anger by failing to instruct them, to teach them. Secondly, we can provoke our children to anger by having unreasonable rules. You know, I'm the king, I'm the dictator, what I say is good. Now, sometimes it's okay. This is my opinion here. Sometimes I think it's okay to say, because I told you so. You know, why, Dad? Because I said so. God doesn't have to explain everything he tells us. And sometimes God doesn't owe us explanation. We just need to be obedient. Trust him. So sometimes we can tell our young ones, because I told you so. Who are you to reason with me about this? But other times, I think as a whole, the Lord does reason with us. The Lord does explain to us why he tells us what he's telling us. He explains to us why we need to be obedient and the failures of sin and what it leads. He reasons with us. And so our goal is not just to get our kids to say, yes, sir. Our goal is to go, oh, that makes sense. I don't want that consequence. I don't want to be this. Okay, I understand, Dad. I'll do that. So we need to have reasonable rules. Now, how do we have reasonable rules? Well, one way of failing at this is not having enough rules. Have you ever heard of free-range chickens? Some parents have free-range children. Children without boundaries, without restrictions. In fact, I've heard that that's a philosophy of parenting nowadays. Just let the kids run free. Do what they want to do. Just, you know, let them decide. Let them choose. That's going to drive your kid to misery. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and if you leave a child to himself, the child is going to be a miserable child. It's going to be a spoiled brat. And one thing's true about spoiled brats, those kids that get what they want when they want it all the time and can't hear no, you know what I mean? A kid that can't hear no and be happy. They can't say, no, you can't get that toy, and they're going to be miserable because they can't get the toy. That's a miserable adult. That's an unhappy person. Sometimes it's good not to give our kids too many choices. You know, do you want this cereal or that cereal or that cereal? And then they sit there and drive the parent crazy because they can't make a decision. And then when you give them the one they thought they wanted first, they say, I don't want this. I'm not going to eat this. No, that's too many choices. You're going to eat this, son. And you're not going to be unhappy about it either. Because it's not just about eating cereal and getting past this one battle. It's a fact that this is the way of life. I want to teach you, you don't always get what you want. And you don't have to be miserable because you didn't get the right cereal. Win those battles, parents. It's important. Your children need boundaries. We cannot let children try to train and raise themselves. I've taught anger management. Thankfully, I don't teach it anymore, but I taught it for 10 years. And most of my old clients or students in that class just never learned how to obey. They just never learned how to submit. They never learned not to get what they wanted. They just always got what they wanted, got used to getting what they wanted, and now they're in anger management class. Because they just don't know how to hear no and be happy. See, children are not born knowing what to do. They're not born with self-control. They're not born with that. You have to install that. You have to equip them with that. You have to teach them. You have to train them. You have to raise them. You have to discipline. You have to instruct them in these things. See, rules are not bad. Try to play any board game without rules. Try to play basketball or football without rules. You can't play life without rules. It's what makes the game fun. Fun for everyone when you have rules. So you need rules, but so sometimes you can drive your kids to anger by not having enough rules, but sometimes you can drive your kids to anger by having too many rules, having unrealistic expectations. Some fathers seek to live vicariously through the life of their children. They're trying to get their kids to accomplish what they did not accomplish. And they're finding joy in their son being a star basketball player, or their son doing this, or their daughter doing that. And the daughter or the son realizes, I cannot live up to that expectations. I can't do it. And they try and try and try to please mom and dad to the point where they fail to try or give up to try any further. Parents, do not set your children up for failure by overly micromanaging them. Putting your kids in a car for 12 hours and expecting them not to talk for the whole 12 hours, that's not reasonable. You know, that's not even nice to your kids. Understand where your kids are. Try to have reasonable rules that they can accomplish. rules that they can achieve. Sometimes we can provoke our children to wrath by having ever-changing rules. You know, it's frustrating when the goalposts are always moved. You know, you're playing a game. You know, I've done that with my kids. They make up a game, and I play along, and they're making the rules up as we play. It's amazing. I never win because the rules are always slanted, and they're changing. It's like, I don't even know what the rules are going to be tomorrow or, in the next 5 minutes. But it's frustrating when the rules are not set and established. How many times have parents will do this and say, you do this. And the next day, they allow that to happen. And the next day, you don't allow it to happen. The next day, you say you can happen. The kids are confused. They don't know what to expect. You know, you can live and learn to adjust to any regiment. Prisoners can adjust in prison because it's routine. It doesn't change. It's the way it is today. It'll be tomorrow. And routine is what we need. But you know what prisoners can adjust to? Ever-changing situations. You know, all my counseling, the hardest people to live with are those who are diagnosed with the bipolar disorder, those who are moody and can't be predicted on how they're going to behave, how they're going to respond. One day they'll be nice, the next day the same scenario, they're going to be mean. You can't predict that. Parents, you have to have stability in your home. Your rules need to be your rules today and then tomorrow. Doesn't mean you can't adjust when you find out you were wrong, but they need to be established. Your kids need to know what they expected of them and stick with them. Stick with those rules. Don't change them. If you say, hey, you're going to walk into Walmart, you're going to stay next to me, you're not going to run to the toy section, we're going to go get milk, we're going to come out, we're going to go check out, we're going to get in the car, and you're not going to cry. Understand? Well, that needs to be what's expected of them. And you can't change. You can't go, okay, well, in the middle of it, if he wants to go to the toy station, he can go. No, it's confusing your kid. And it's hard on them. So, well, my kid doesn't listen to me. Well, make it easy for them to listen to you. And I know this is difficult. Kids need consistency. They need, in fact, I think they want that. Fourthly, about reasonable rules, you need to make sure you don't have selfish rules. This is where I fail. I'm not trying to preach down. I'm a parent struggling raising my own kids. But we need to be careful we don't have selfish rules. Selfish rules are rules that we put in on our children for our own sake. You know how it goes. I'm watching my show and I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to parent, actually. I don't want to be involved in my kids' life. I'm too busy, so leave me alone. And because our kids don't leave us alone, we get mad and we discipline them and we spank them. And it's all because we're selfish. It's all because we really don't like kids, or we don't like our kids at the moment, or we don't want to be bothered with the act of parenting. So we have all these rules to protect our own time, to protect our own well-being. You know, it's like the rules are for me, not for my kids. It's not that I'm trying to train my kids. I'm just trying to get through this life, you know, just this period alive, you know. So I'm making all the rules for myself. Sometimes it's not easy being a parent. That's no joke. Sometimes we would like to have a vacation from parenting. Oh, we love our kids. We'll always love them, but we just wish, I've got to parent again today. I have to mess with my kids again. I mean, it's every day, isn't it? And it's hard. So sometimes we make rules that are, and especially as our kids get older, they realize our rules are just about our parents getting what they want. What's best for our parents? Because our parents are not involved, doesn't care about us. Sometimes selfish rules are rules to demonstrate just raw power. You know, sometimes we make rules, hey, I'm the boss here, and you're going to do what I say to do, and I'm going to prove that I can control you. Is that the goal of parenting? You think God does that to you? Puts his thumb on you just to show you who you are and show you who he is? No, he does everything out of your well-being. He disciplines for your own benefit, not his own benefit. See, the goal of parenting is not for us to micromanage our kids and to control them and get them to submit. Our goal of parenting is to get them free. It's to free them where they don't need us. To get them to be able to make their own decisions. Ted Tripp says the purpose for your authority in the lives of your children is not to hold them under your power, but to empower them to be self-controlled people, living freely under the authority of God. That's the objective. Thus, how we parent a 2-year-old should not be how we parent an 18-year-old. We'll provoke our 18-year-olds to wrath if we try to treat them like children. And maybe we say, well, my kid, 18-year-old, doesn't listen to me. Maybe I have to treat them like a 2-year-old. But maybe because we didn't do a good job when they were 2. You know, the Bible even talks about how the nation of Israel in the Old Testament was treated like no different than a slave. But now that we're in the new covenant, we have freedom because we're heirs. It's like there was all this micromanagement of the Israelites because of their wayward ways. Don't eat this, don't do that, all these extra rules. Now we don't have all that, implying that as a kid grows up, they have more freedom and boundaries. More license to do this and make decisions on their own. Ultimately, we want them to be able to make healthy decisions without us. My last point about this provoking our children to wrath is we can do that by having inconsistent discipline. First of all, this happens when we have undisciplined lives ourselves. You know, the hardest thing about parenting is having discipline in us. We want our kids to be disciplined, but you can't expect it out of them until you expect it out of yourself. And thus, we neglect to punish our kids when they need to be punished. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from your child. Don't do that. You know, you don't take a day off. Well, today I'm not going to spank them. Today I'm not going to punish them. Today I'm not going to get on them. Today I'm just tired of that. No, that you're undermining your own objective here. Consistency is what is required of you. An undisciplined child will rule over you rather than you ruling over the child. And thus, authority only exists where there is discipline. And discipline begins with the parenting. You say, well, you know, spanking or disciplining is unloving. It's hard. I don't like doing it. Proverbs says, whoever spares the rod hates his son. You know what's unloving is you not to spank your kids. That's what God says is unloving. Author Pink says, multitudes of parents have supposed they were treating their children lovingly when they overlooked their folly, made excuses for their wildness, and refused to discipline them for their disobedience. But laxity is not love, which allows a child to have its own way. Proverbs tells us 19, verse 18, discipline your son, for there is hope. So my kid, you don't understand my kid. My kids just won't listen. My kid is not like your kids. Your kids are good. Mine are bad. I have an extreme, you may have, because not all kids are the same. And be careful about grandparents. Be careful, grandparents, looking down on young parents and saying, when I had kids, they didn't do that. You may have had a different disposition kids. You can't just say all kids are the same. You know, you had one child and he was a good one, so you think you're an expert parent. Be careful. I have 4 children. I know they're all different. They're not all the same. Some are easy. Some make me look like a great parent. I won't say the other part. Charles Bridges, one of the best commentaries on the book on the book of Proverbs, which is one of the best parenting books you can get, is the book of Proverbs. Charles Bridges says, must I be cruel to my child? No, God charges you with cruelty if you withhold correction from him. And it may seem hard, but it does produce good results. Hebrews 12:11 says, "For the moment of all discipline seems painful and rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Parenting is hard. Disciplining is hard. In fact, you may say, well, it's just too hard. Well, it is hard, but it'll be harder if you don't. Spurgeon says, if we never have headaches through rebuking our children, we shall have plenty of headaches when they grow up. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you rest. It's amazing, you know, kids can be frustrating, and that's understandable when they're 2 and 3 and 4. That's a hard stage. And they don't come out all neat and orderly, walking like ducks behind you. They don't all sit in church all quiet and peaceful when they just come out. That's hard. But just be patient. Discipline them. Be steadfast. Keep at it. Keep at it. Don't give up. And eventually you'll have rest. You see, the key to discipline, in my opinion, well, I think biblically speaking too, is consistency. Consistency, consistency, consistency. I had a coworker who says, I tried to spank my kid once and it didn't work. One time. Of course it didn't work. You don't understand. That's not how it works. You know, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym once. That's not going to do anything. I mean, it's a good start. You got to start somewhere. But just because you spanked your kid doesn't mean they're going to be good, because you spanked them once. The Bible doesn't give you like this false idea that you spank your kid one time and he'll never do it again. No, it's consistency. Kid does this, misbehaves, you spank him. And I understand, I don't always do it. It's hard to be faithful. And that's why you have to have discipline to discipline, because you've got to be faithful at it. But it's hard because the kids can outwear us. It can be stronger than we are, you know. And so it's hard to be faithful, but do it today. Oh, no, it's not going to be. Kid's going to be disobedient tomorrow, but do it tomorrow. Your kid will be disobedient the next day, but do it the next. Don't give up. It may take years. In fact, it will take years. But good thing God gives us a while to train them. Don't expect to train your kids in a week or 2 weeks. It's a lifetime. It's at least 18 years. Folly is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. What a kid needs to understand is, like, if I do this, God will do that. And my parents will do that. Your kid has to be convinced. Your children, my children, have to be convinced that if they disobey, they will be punished. They have to know that. But it's when you don't spank them every now and then, they are confused and they're going to push you to their limits. So just be consistent. And it can be discouraging, but just keep at it. One of my old pastor friends said, and this is in a different city, it's not any of us, the kid was at the house and he was hitting the plant, and the dad says, stop doing that. Hit the plant. Stop doing that. Kid hit the plant. Stop doing that. He kept doing it, and the parent says, well, I'll spank you. The kid did it again. I'll spank you. Obviously, the kid didn't believe his dad. Finally, this old pastor looked in the child. I don't know if he should have done this or not, but he looked in the child in the eyes and said, if you do it again, I will spank you. Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but that kid didn't do it. Your word needs to mean your word. The Bible says this, do not be fooled. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. And if your mom and dad will not spank you, I promise you God will. We have to be consistent. Our word has to be in our word. Charles Bridges says, let the child see that we are resolved, that we are not to be diverted from our duty by the cry or weakness of passion. Far better that our child should cry under a healthy correction than parents should afterwards cry under the bitter fruit to themselves and children of neglected discipline. Now, we do have to break their little will. However, we cannot break their spirits. And that's why the Bible warns fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Be firm in your discipline. Be consistent in your discipline. But don't lose your temper in your discipline. Don't go crazy on your kids. You have to have self-control to control your kids. What are you teaching your children when you're trying to get them to have self-control when you lose your own control? I mean, is that not a mixed message? When you just lose it? I mean, do you think God, when he disciplines you as children, do you think he just goes recklessly unhinged on you? Not at all. He only disciplines you to the measure that you need it. No more, no less. He's exact. He's control. He's controlling his own emotions when he's disciplining us. Thank the Lord. He's that way. And that's why it's hard to be a parent, because sometimes we lose it. We fail to manage ourselves in our seeking to manage our kids, and they get the best of us. And then we don't spank, and then only when we spank is when we've lost it. You know why that happens is we didn't spank soon enough. We didn't correct the issue when we should have. So it takes discipline, and you got to remain calm and spank firmly, but don't spank over the top. And your discipline needs to be all motivated in love. I love the fact that the Lord disciplines me because it means I'm his child. It means I'm a child of God. It means I'm under his correction and his love. And kids, I believe they respond well to discipline, right discipline, because they understand it means that they're loved and they're cared for. Discipline is only as effective as the strength of your love. You know, if all you do is bark at your children, lecture them, get on to them, and spank them, if that's all they know of you, you're going to provoke them, if you haven't already provoked them, to discouragement or wrath. The normal atmosphere of the home needs to be that of love, communion, that of conversation, that of you're a joy to me. And thus is what makes when mom and dad are unhappy, makes it effective. Because it's removing the normal experience of love and experience of a pleasure and say, now I have displeased my mom and that's what hurts. I see that they're displeased. And that's why we need to constantly be an encouragement to our kids. Don't discourage them as if they can't please you. Our rules and guidance over them is not just for our own sake, it's for their sake. So in conclusion, we need kids to have strict obedience, and us parents, we need to have gracious parenting. Parenting is hard. In fact, it could be the hardest thing we ever do. But it's one of the most important things we can do, is to raise our kids up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So parents, don't be discouraged. He said, well, Jeff, all these don't do this and don't do this of your message, I don't know if I can do all that. Don't be discouraged. God has given us his words and he gives us instructions so that we may know how to proceed with our children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.